Good afternoon, everyone. This is Ashley Marcel here at NQF, and we want to thank you all for joining us today on our Measure Developer webinar. So today we're going to be going over some high-level changes that we have in terms of making some improvements in some of our CDP processes here at NQF. We're also going to touch on our 2013-2014 measure maintenance schedule, which has been a hot topic for a couple of months now. We're going to give you guys a reminder of some updates that we've made to some of our web pages and some of the available resources that we have. And then we're also going to give you a preview of some of the things that we have coming up and coming soon down the pike. So I'm going to speak to our 2013 and 2014 endorsement maintenance schedule. As always, we just want to send our greatest respects to you guys for being so patient and so flexible with us during the time that we were doing negotiations to finalize our contract, to finally be able to get the work and to communicate that to you. 2 weeks ago, we shared with you guys a summary document of all of our upcoming endorsement maintenance projects, all of their respective measure submission start and end dates, and all of their respective overall project start and end dates. So what you see here on this slide is just a summary of all the upcoming projects and their respective measure submission deadlines. In the document that we sent, we provided a narrative about the scope of each of these projects. And then in 2 weeks after that, we shared with you guys your individual maintenance summaries for 2013 and 2014. So that was the Excel file that designated which of your measures were due for measure maintenance, which of your measures were due for annual update, and which, if any, of your measures are time limited and need to have their testing data reviewed for 2013 and 2014. We also communicated that we would be giving you guys a 2-week window by which you can communicate back to NQF any concerns that you may have about how any of your measures have been designated, any questions that you may have about any of the projects that we have upcoming, and any other functional questions you may have about how to access your measures, the utility of the form, or any other questions of that nature. So we also wanted to call out that we will be launching our projects in batches. Just to clarify this point here, if at this point in time you have measures for which we have assigned to our measure maintenance project, so anything that was listed on the previous slides, the forms for all of your measures are now open and available for you to access on your dashboard and to begin working on. So what this first bullet point speaks to, launching projects in batches, not all of the projects will begin at the same time. They'll all have cascading, if you will, measure submission deadlines. We launched our first batch of projects last Monday, and that included our all-cause readmissions and emissions project, our cost and resource use project, and our endocrine project. And this is just a blast communication that we sent out to our membership and to the public that we share about the details pertaining to those respective projects. As I mentioned before, you can access your measures that are due for either measure maintenance, annual update, or time limited via your NQF dashboard. And as always, if you have any questions pertaining to any of these maintenance activities, you guys can reach me directly or you can shoot us an email at the measure maintenance inbox. So now I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Ann Hammersmith, who's going to speak to you guys about some changes that we've implemented with our measure steward agreement.
Hey, everyone. I'm Ann Hammersmith. I'm NQF's general counsel. And I just want to very briefly alert you to our new measure steward agreement. This will be available on NQF's website around November 1st. You will be notified of the availability of the document by blast email, and there will be instructions with the document telling you how to proceed. Why did we redo the measure steward agreement? Well, the main reason is it was absolutely incomprehensible as currently drafted. It was very dense, rather convoluted, really hard to follow. So what we have done is try to make it clearer, more accessible, even trying to help with your ability to navigate through the document if you're trying to find something. The other thing that we have done is we have created an online downloadable PDF document, so you'll be able to fill in the fields electronically, and we will also accept e-signatures so that we don't have a lot of paper flying back and forth. However, if there are some developers who prefer a paper process, we can accommodate that, but we thought that the electronic process would be appealing to most of you. And lastly, you will only need to sign this agreement once. In the past, there's been a lot of confusion, very understandably, a lot of confusion regarding when do we sign it. You know, do we have to re-sign the agreement every time we submit a measure? And what we're going to do now is you will only sign the agreement once, and then all of your measures will come under this agreement. When you add measures, you will do it electronically, and we will give you a process for submitting those measures, and those measures will then fall under the measure steward agreement without any need for you to re-sign the underlying agreement. So that's just a brief summary of what to expect. We are excited that we were able to do this, and we hope that you will find it more accessible and easier to use.
So at this point, if anyone has any questions about the maintenance schedules or anything that Andrew spoke to regarding the MSA, we're going to open the lines for questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. You have a question from Ann Watt.
Hi, Ann.
Hi, Ashley. If we have folks that need to have dashboards created for them for particular measure sets, can we just send a list of measures and the appropriate person, and can you set up dashboards for them, or how does that work?
Yes, just send me the list of the measures and the numbers, and send me the person's username, and I can add them to those measures.
Fantastic. Thank you.
No problem.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Rebecca Swain-Ain.
Hi, Rebecca.
Good morning. A quick question for you. So I know you've got all these new projects coming out, but I'm wondering, underneath each project, like, for example, patient safety, are you looking for disease-specific measures, or are you looking kind of more for generic or general patient safety-type measures?
So the summary document that we shared last week, it didn't get to that level of detail. However, what we can do, you can shoot me an email, and I can pass it along to the person internally who will be working on that project, and then they can give you more detailed information pertaining to the scope of the work that will be covered under that project.
Okay, so I can just send you a list of all the measures that we have that may possibly fall underneath those categories, and then you'll disseminate them appropriately?
Sure. Actually, we have the person in the room who will be working on that project, so he can speak to it. His name is Andy Leising, and he's a senior director here at AQF, so he's going to answer your questions.
Well, yeah, we'll take either condition-specific or just general patient safety measures, anything that does have sort of some relationship to patient safety. And if you would like to send us a list of the measures, and we can give you a sense of whether we think those fit in the project or not, that would be fine, too. But we don't have any... We're not being too restrictive in terms of the conditions or the types of patient safety events or anything like that that we're assessing, just measures that generally relate to patient safety.
Because I know in the past we've submitted a measure for a call for patient safety measures that was focused on epilepsy, got all the way through the process, and then it was denied endorsement because it was deemed to be too specific. So I just want to make sure that we don't have that come up again.
Yeah, we'll be happy to just take a look at the measures if you'd like, and sort of give you a better sense of that up front, maybe.
That would be very helpful. Thank you.
You have a question from the line of Jane Hahn.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, how are you, Ashley?
I'm fine.
Good. Just a question regarding the Measure Steward Agreement. When were you all, was there a due date for that or a time frame that you wanted everyone to submit them by, or any guidelines regarding that?
Hi, Jane. This is Elisa. You have to complete and submit your measure submission, your measure steward agreement before the submission deadline.
Okay.
So either on or before the submission deadline of whatever project you're submitting to.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You have no further questions.
All right. At this time, I'm going to turn things over to Elisa Muntali, who's going to speak more to some of the process improvement initiatives that we have underway here at NQS.
Hi again, everyone, and I just wanted to echo Ashley's sentiments. We really appreciate you hanging in there with us while we were in contract negotiations, and we're really excited to start this work with you. So during the time that we were waiting for the contracts to come in and we're waiting to confirm the projects, project staff has been working extensively on improving the efficiency of our consensus development project process, which we call the CDP, while also making sure that that process is both clear and more transparent than it was in the past. Feedback that we received during focus group discussions with multi-stakeholders in the fall of 2012 and staff assessments identified several pain points with our process, including with the steering committee. Several stakeholders felt that the committee did not have adequate understanding of the evaluation criteria, that is, our NQS evaluation criteria, or of the portfolio of measures in which they were reviewing measures. Others felt that measure reviews and evaluation were inconsistent between committees, and that the learning curve for those that were new to committees was pretty steep. For these reasons, we're implementing a new standing committee structure across all of our projects. Each project, each committee will be composed of 20 to 25 individuals serving 2 to 3 year terms of a maximum of 2 consecutive terms. We believe that through the standing committee, this pool will have a steady pool of multi-stakeholder experts that over the long period will produce committees that are better informed about the portfolio of measures, and they'll be able to understand the entire portfolio to better inform their discussions around harmonization and gaps. The standing committees would also already be in place so that we can tap into them, maybe when it's not just a project, but if we need to get expertise on a particular topic area. And that will enable us to bring in more measure submissions on a more frequent basis. We also, through this process, through this pilot, we've developed clearer guidance on committee members' roles and expectations, and that policy document is on the web. An ongoing criticism of the consensus development process is that it isn't flexible enough to bring in measure submissions on a frequent basis. And this is something we heard prior to the focus groups. So through the endocrine project, we are piloting our improved flow process. And essentially through this pilot, we will allow more frequent opportunities for measure submissions. We believe that this new process will work hand-in-hand, and it must work hand-in-hand with the standing committee structure. There'll be biannual submission deadlines 4 to 6 weeks prior to each evaluation webinar. At each submission period, measures will immediately move through the endorsement process, including the evaluation, comments, voting, CSAC, and board ratification. If you have measures in the endocrine project, project staff have or will be contacting you soon to discuss your measures and the pilot. And they'll be reaching out throughout the project to kind of gauge how things are going. And we do have Reva Winkler, who's here, Senior Director of the Endocrine Project. So I don't know if you have any questions about the pilot.
No, I think that we've tried to contact anyone that is involved with measures in this topic area, which is primarily diabetes and osteoporosis. If indeed we haven't had a chance to speak with you and you do have measures in these topic areas, we really want to hear from you. So please get in touch with us so we can talk about this in more detail.
Great. Another enhancement that we're piloting through the all-cause admissions and readmissions project is the ability to submit comments about measures on an ongoing cycle basis at several points throughout the project. We heard from several of our stakeholders, including developers, that they weren't given enough opportunities to submit comments or to receive feedback on their measures until after the committee's recommendation, which is during the 30-day member and public comment period. During the pilot, anyone may submit comments about maintenance measures when the call for measures opens, and comments may be submitted on newly submitted measures
once the call for measures closes. Through the new process, anyone may indicate whether or not they support particular measures or not. They may change their selection at any time before the committee renders the endorsement recommendation. In the past, we didn't do a very good job of confirming receipt of comments and or notifying commenters of the progress or outcome of their comments. And so during this process, we'll make sure that we're doing that through our automatic notifications. And the last enhancement I wanted to discuss with you today is the developer request for reconsideration. This isn't a new process, but what we've done is make the process clearer, more transparent. What we also have done is outline the two reasons for the reconsideration of a committee's initial recommendation. The first is that NQF's measure evaluation criteria were not applied appropriately. And if you feel this is one of the reasons, you may submit a request through the public and member comment process. If you are satisfied with the committee's recommendation, a request for reconsideration may be made to our Consensus Standards Approval Committee co-chairs. The second reason why you may bring forward a request for reconsideration is if you felt that the consensus development process was not followed. In this instance, you would send a written request to the CSAC citing the issues with the specific CDP steps, which would be commenting or measure evaluation and review, and how it was not followed properly, and how it resulted in the specific measure not being recommended. We wanted to make sure, again, that you knew this was not a new process, but we wanted everyone to be very clear about what the criteria are for bringing this request forward. And I don't know if you have any questions on all of the enhancements that I mentioned.
We're going to open the line for questions for any of the bullet points that Alisa just covered at this point in time, operator.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We have a question from Anna Jody Dorvikin.
Hi, Jody.
Hi there.
Hi.
Ashley, this is Mark Antman with Jody.
Hi, Mark.
And, so I wonder, Alisa, can you go back to slide 8, please?
Mm-hmm.
So we were wondering a little bit about this new process of, which we had already known about, the ability to submit comments on an ongoing basis. And you've indicated that commenters can indicate initial support or not or non-support for measures, again, on an ongoing basis throughout the project. I'm wondering what of what significance or of what how will those support or not support comments that are submitted, how will those be used either by the steering committee or by NQF staff as they're submitted through the project? We know that when those comments, when comments are submitted during the public comment period, typically the developer is asked to respond to any comments where there are questions about the measures or recommendations made. But I wonder how will these simple support or not support comments, how will they be valued and what response will be needed to those?
Hi, Mark. This is Reva. I think what we're trying to do is get a better handle on what the comment and commenter really means by what they're telling us. Oftentimes when we read a comment, we really don't have a sense of whether that, you know, their issue is such that they don't support the measure, that it's a deal breaker, or whether they're just raising something to be considered, but yet basically everything's okay. So that the idea of indicating the support or not support can give us a much better gauge of what the membership or the public and the commenters really are thinking about the measure, because often it's very difficult to tell without something more specific to indicate how they're feeling.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
We have a question from the line of Rebecca Swining.
Good afternoon. One other question for you regarding the new standing committees. I'm wondering if you have any sort of date as to when you'll actually be sending out the employment letters for those?
Oh, actually, Rebecca, they are out with the nominations, so call for nominations for all of the projects. Those are all standing committees. So the ones that we rolled out last week, the endocrine, readmissions, admissions, and also and the cost and resource use, if you notice on the call for nominations, they're asking that committee members, prospective committee members, make a commitment based on the standing commitment, standing committee guidelines.
So I guess
all of the call for nominations for all of the projects.
Well, we had nominated several for the call for the Alzheimer's group, and I'm just wondering when we'll find out whether or not any of our nominees are selected.
Okay, so that is under another task order. That's
okay.
Under our CAPS project, and we can follow up if somebody contacts you. I think
that'd be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, to ask a question, press star 1. At this time, you have no further questions.
Okay, so the last portion of today's webinar is going to be devoted to some updates that we've made to our web pages and then some of the processes that we have up and coming. So the Submitting Standards page is a page that is frequented very often by measure developers. And some of the feedback that we've received, not just for this particular page, but for our website overall, is that NQF projects a lot of information, and sometimes there's a lot of context-dense information, but it could be presented in a way that's more digestible for our end users. So on two webinars ago, we shared with you guys some of the specific updates that we've made to our submitting standards page, our measure maintenance page, and our measure evaluation criteria page. And we just wanted to reiterate those changes here. We put out our measure evaluation guidance out for comment, and we received feedback, and we've made updates based on that feedback. So on the downloads pane on the submitted standards page and the measure evaluation page, you'll see that the link there is labeled the same way, but it is an updated link that reflects the most recent version of that document. We also provided information on our eMeasure submission process. We're currently integrating measure developer and CSAC feedback to the process change, and we'll have something that's more finalized put on the pages once we have the finalized document. The next thing that we want to speak to is a new resource that we've developed, and it's the Measure Developer Guidebook. Again, feedback that we've gotten from developers is that if they could have one concise location to go to be able to access not only just process information and evaluation guidance and links, but overall information about how the CDP works, what NQF's expectations are, and how to access certain other resources that we may not have on our web page. And we took that feedback, and we decided that we wanted to come up with something that was a little more feasible for you guys to access, and we put it into the form of this developer guidebook. So it's a resource for developers and any other organizations that are submitting measures to NQF for endorsement. And it includes comprehensive information and guidance about the CDP process and the other things that I just spoke to. This is currently posted on our submitting standards page. Concurrently with that, we are developing a steering committee guidebook, of which we hope will serve in the same capacity, which will be more specific to the steering committees. Reba, have we finalized the steering committee? So we have finalized that, and that as well is posted on our submitting standards page. And then also, just to reiterate, Elisa spoke to the opportunity to provide continuous commenting throughout the CDP steps, but we also have the option for you guys to submit use and usability comments and any other general feedback that you may have for measures that you may be using via our quality positioning system, or QPS as we refer to it, and there's a link to that on our measure maintenance page. And just to remind you, we do have an example of what good looks like on our submitting standards page, and we have the submission form demo from our webinar in August where Dr. Karen Pace walked through our updated measure submission form for you guys to use as a resource if you have any questions once you do get underway with completing your maintenance form for your measures going forward. So what's coming soon? We have been working on what we are calling the Measure Inventory Pipeline. Essentially what this will be is a repository of measure concepts. And QF is doing this effort jointly with HHS, and we wanted to just have a one-stop shop for a place where we can house information on measure concepts. We think this will better inform both the NQF process and both measure developers if we have this portal by which people can access and see measure concepts submitted by other developers. This will enable NQF to track the current and planned measure development and to ensure early, and also to ensure early collaboration among measure developers to help better facilitate measure harmonization. This will also be a way to help inform the measurement gap area. We are working on a form. It'll be a very short, very simple form that is completely voluntary. And some of the data entry fields that will be included on the form are measure numerator, concept numerator, denominator, planned use, and the stage of development. So this tool we hope to make available to you guys in early November. Again, it will be a short and simple form that's easy to navigate, and it will be completely voluntary. And you will have the ability to go into your form and edit and re-enter information as you see fit to. And then lastly, we will be working in coordination with our health services advisory group to use some of these webinars as an informational platform to share with you guys things that are going on that may be outside of the realm of NQF, but that can help inform some of the processes here at NQF. We will treat this as a training session, and we will begin scheduling topic areas to discuss as early as November. These joint webinars will begin in January of 2014, and we'll have more information to share with you guys and our upcoming developers as we continue to collaborate with HDAG to streamline this process. So that concludes our presentation for today. Just a note, our next webinar is Monday, November 18th, from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time, and then our December webinar is December 16th, from 1 to 2 p.m. So I will stop there, and we can open up the line for any questions.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. That's star 1 to ask a question. And you have a question from the line of Dawn O'Lyon.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Ashley. So I have a quick question about the eMeasure guidance. Is that going to be available to us anytime soon?
Yes, we're working to incorporate the comments that we receive from our CSAC and our board members into the guidance to update it appropriately. So once it is available, we'll send mass communication to you guys to let you know that it is up on the web and available for you guys to use.
Is there an ETA about that?
I would say within the next week or two, it should be ready.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Well, no problem.
Again, to ask a question, press star 1. At this time, you have no further questions.
All right. Well, we want to thank you guys for your time with us today. We will be sending out these slides later in the week for you guys to have for your own personal review. And if at that time you have any subsequent questions, as always, you can shoot me an email directly or you can email the measure maintenance inbox. So thank you guys and enjoy the rest of your mornings or afternoons depending upon your time zones. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude our conference call. You may now disconnect.